It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I think Dave Ball's a tremendous football coach. It's funny how people forget sometimes how great of a coach a person is over some tough times. And I think the guy just won a Coach of the Year not too long ago. And sometimes I love the underdog mentality too as well. I think that's kind of been my approach every day of my life. I don't know, maybe being 5'11", I don't know what it is, but a lot of people tell you can't do something. And I love challenges, I love adversity, I love all that stuff.
Russell Wilson. New quarterback of the New York Giants. He did say he expects to start. Didn't sound like he thinks there's going to be a quarterback competition between him and Jameis Winston. Won't Winston find his way to playing like 7 games this year, though, anyway? He always kind of gets in there. And then there was the Schefter rumor report that they're still looking at Shedeur Sanders. So they could have Sanders, Wilson, and Winston all in the same quarterback room. Or at least all in the same competition. I don't know if they would keep all three once training camp begins.
Yeah, and like Winston has a cuttable contract, worst case.
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure there's a couple million of that that's guaranteed, but they could probably trade him, someone that would be desperate to at quarterback. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off this week. Nate Geary is in. The Sabres are in action tonight against Pittsburgh. It's opening day in Major League Baseball. The Bisons, by the way, open up tomorrow against Rochester downtown. So that's tomorrow. We'll have Pat Malacara. We'll get Pat Malacara on tomorrow to preview the Bison season. 9:30, we're going to talk with Josh Goldberg on the whole league, but also the Blue Jays. They're trying to get a deal done with Vlad Guerrero, it sounds like, today before the game start. Because his future has been very much in doubt in Toronto. Former Bison stud and then has gone on to be great in Toronto and needs a contract. And there's been a lot of rumors about him leaving if they don't get a deal done. So get a little scoop on that coming up at 9:30 on baseball beginning today. We have the over-unders for the league. The Giants, by the way, 4.5 is the over-under. Let's play a little game here. Let's play a little game with the AFC over-unders. Nate, I'm going to have you pick the over-under for every team in the AFC.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's start right at the top. The Bills over-under is 11.5. Did you go over or under?
Over.
Over?
Over.
Even though the schedule's tough?
I like over.
The home schedule is tough. The away schedule... What is the Bills' away schedule this year? I feel like the away schedule is actually not that bad. This year, they have the 3 division teams on the road. They have Pittsburgh on the road. Heard Sal yesterday mention that that game could be in Ireland. There's a chance of it. Give me Bills Mafia in Dublin.
If they went to Ireland, I'd have to maybe find my way there.
Yeah, me too. Atlanta on the road, Carolina on the road, Cleveland on the road, and Houston on the road. That's not a tough road schedule.
Yeah.
Your three divisions, and then Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Carolina, Cleveland, Houston. I mean,
they could go undefeated on the road.
And maybe that's how you
get... They went undefeated at home last year.
Yeah. That's how you get to your over. They're so good at home.
Yep. You know they're going to win of games that are close at home, but they should get the benefit of the doubt at home.
And then they could go nuts on the road.
There are few true home field advantages left in the NFL, especially now. The Bills feel like they have one of the last remaining ones. Like Kansas City, Buffalo, Seattle.
Yeah.
Like those home field advantages still exist.
Baltimore over 11.5. What kind of season's Baltimore in store for? They had DeAndre Hopkins as their big ad in the offseason.
Under.
Division being a little stronger.
Division stronger. They won.
He's one team in their division being stronger.
They won,
I think,
2 1-score games against the Bengals that could have really gone the other way last year.
One of those was not just 1-score games, an overtime game.
Yeah.
And a game where Cincinnati went for 2 down 1 to win the game at the end, and they didn't get it.
Where'd we hear that before?
Yeah. Chiefs at 11.5. I would go under on this.
I'm going to take over.
You're going to go over?
I'm going to go over.
I would go under. 11.5. They're going to go 10-7 this year. And then beat the Bills again. It's going to be infuriating. Bengals at 10.5.
Under.
Okay. Chargers at 10.5. Is that surprising to you that the Bengals number is the same as the Chargers over-under? Chargers and Bengals, the same one number here. Level of expectation is the exact same. The Chargers coming off a horrific playoff loss.
Yeah.
Just two. What did Herbert have? 3 interceptions on the season, and then he had 4 in the playoff game?
Yeah.
Chargers and the Chargers.
You said theirs is 10.5?
Theirs is the same as the Bengals, 10.5.
I'll take the under.
Man, if they're not, you've got the Chiefs winning the division by like 3 games again. If the Chargers are never going to put it together.
You think that it's really the Chargers and nobody else? Because I think Denver could be the team in that division that gives them the biggest.
Well, let's get to them next. They're 9.5.
Over.
You would go over on Denver. You think they'll finish second in the division?
I think they'll finish second. I think they're going to give the Chiefs everything they can handle. I mean, they did last year in the regular season game. They beat them when it didn't matter, but it was a walk-off field goal after they fumbled the damn ball, right? Or was that a different game? There were so many absurd endings to Chiefs games. They all kind of blend together.
That
was a different game. Who fumbled? Oh, that was the Raiders game.
No, the Denver game. You're looking for the Denver game? The Denver game is they have a 30-yard field goal at the end to win it, and it gets blocked.
Yes, that's what it was. That's what it was.
That honestly was the craziest. Of any of the lucky Chief moments of the year, I'm not saying that was, like,
Raiders being in the red zone and then fumbling.
I think
feels
you're
worse.
Right. Because that is all on the Raiders. Like, the Chiefs didn't do anything to make that happen. At least on the blocked field goal, it's okay. The Chief guy ran over the Denver guard. Forgot the name of the Denver guard. He's got pancaked on his back to get the field goal blocked. Denver's at 9.5. Houston at 9.5. I am low on Houston this year. I would go under.
I am too. I will take. I think they look like an easy regression candidate because of how bad their offensive line was, and then they dismantled it and have not done anything to.
Right. Explain to me their offseason. They're
trading away your best offensive lineman.
Right, when that was your biggest problem.
Yep.
Right? It's kind of like the Chiefs in that way. But Tunsil, I think, Tunsil's also a real tackle. Thuney was playing out of position. They added Trent Brown on a 1-year deal. They added Cam Robinson on a 1-year deal. They added Laken Tomlinson on a 1-year deal. All low money.
Good. Don't know what the plan is there, but I feel like they could easily. They regressed last year. I think there's a good chance they regress again.
AFC South, never going to change. Steelers at 8.5. Under. Under. Under.
No, I'll take the over.
Come on.
They're going to win 9 games
We should just bet that one straight up.
They're going to win 9 games no matter what. That's what they do.
Not no matter what. It's going to end. It's going to happen. It happened to Belichick. It's going to happen to Tomlin.
History suggests otherwise. Unfortunately.
Eventually, it's going to happen. You're saying that assuming Rodgers will be the quarterback, I'm guessing? Okay.
Yep.
If it's Rudolph, would you still think the same thing?
Yep.
Really?
If Duck Hodges was their quarterback, I'd think they'd still find a way to 9 wins.
Is there a quarterback I could put in front of him as their starter where he wouldn't say that? It's like within like some reality. Trubisky. There you go. Well, he was their quarterback.
Yeah, it didn't go well.
They found their way to 9 wins. All right. Pittsburgh 8.5. Dolphins at 8.5.
Over.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is why I ask you, what do you like about Miami?
It's not really about liking Miami.
I just think Tua's going to get hurt again.
Okay.
Because it happens every year.
I mean, if that happens, then yeah. That's...
1 year, he stayed healthy. Just play the law of averages.
Yeah, I like over simply because I think they're them and the Jets, they've both found ways to be kind of underrated now.
What do you think McDaniel needs to do to keep his job? Like, does he keep his job if they squeak in the playoffs and gets bounced in the first round? Is he there? Is
probably,
he staying?
Yeah.
Okay, what if they win 9 and just miss?
I think he'd be done. I think he'd be out.
Okay. So it's gotta be it's playoffs or bust,
yeah.
Okay.
But I also kind of think they have to win a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game since...
Oh, it's 20 years.
The second Bush administration.
Might be the first Bush
administration. They're the only team in the NFL to not win in the 21st century.
What playoff game?
A playoff game. Even the Jets have won a playoff game.
Miami's last playoff win.
96?
The 2000 wild card.
Pre-9/11.
Indianapolis Colts in overtime.
Because maybe they have one in the 21st
century. I was
in
third grade.
I was young. Peyton Manning. Jay Fiedler was the quarterback.
Hell yeah.
Vibe train. Look at this game. Who is the coach?
Wanstead,
you're right. Dave Wanstead against Jim Mora.
Hell yes, vibe factory.
Holy cow. 2000 is the last time they won a playoff game. Miami is 8.5. You're going over. I would go under on Miami. I think they're going to implode this year. Get my list back up here. New England is at 7.5. Is that proper respect? That's the right number, right? That's last year they were like 3.5.
What's the number?
7.5. Like that, it's okay. You're middle of the road now. You're not the worst team in the league anymore. We like Drake May just enough, but you also haven't done enough. You're too new. You're too new here to get a higher number than that.
I take the under. That'd be a big jump for them.
Yeah.
8 wins would be a big jump. Six or 7 makes more sense.
I'll go over. Not by much. Like it's going to be 8 and 9 to me. But I do like the roster. I like the roster a lot. Jury's out still on the offensive line. And that could really tank things. But I like May's ability to play against pressure. To me, is gonna make that a little bit more neutralized.
Okay.
So we'll see. It's Vrabel too, right? Isn't Vrabel kind of Tomlin-esque here, where he's gonna squeak out 8-9 wins? What is his worst season with Tennessee? Did he have like a really bad year? Not that I remember, right? Was there a Mariota year in there that was really bad?
Maybe his first year.
Vrabel as a coach went 9 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, 7 wins, 6 wins. So the last year, I guess.
Yeah.
The last year that he was there where, you know, it all kind of went away. So New England at 7.5. Rest of the AFC. Jaguars at 6.5. I think Jeremy's on the Jaguars this year. It's a sneaky good team.
Jaguars?
Yeah. I'm not really into it. They've changed a lot.
What's the over-under? 7, you said? 7.5?
Six and a half.
Okay.
New coach, Liam Cullen, who says Duval very strangely.
Duval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird cat.
I like the over for them. I think a bounce back's in order. You know, I'm probably buying Trevor Lawrence stock because I think it's probably at its lowest.
Okay.
Yeah, if their offense can be better, I think their defense will. Their defense was okay. Their defense has always sort of been okay. Maybe some of this depend on who they end up with in the draft?
Well, who would you have them taken? That's a top 10 pick, isn't it?
It's 5.
5, okay.
So they get Mason Graham. Does that move the needle for you? They'd have some names on the defensive line.
Eh.
Josh Allen, Trayvon Walker, Mason Graham. I mean, they'd have some pieces on that defensive line.
To me, like their defense being 11th or being 19th, like to me,
kind of doesn't matter.
It's their offense. Doug Peterson kind of showed that he doesn't really have it as a play caller anymore. And Cohen was really impressive in Tampa. So I do like the offensive skill set. Brian Thomas Jr., I mean, he could be a superstar.
Yeah, he really could. He really could be a superstar.
He looked
like
he has that potential last year. I mean, he had a big season. Nonetheless, he's going to be at least be really good. I like that Diami Brown signing too. Speed receiver. They got a lot of speed.
Yeah, swapping
down
out
the field.
Kirk for Diami Brown. I kind of like.
Yeah,
I kind of like it. I mean, so what?
Still,
no. So
they're
now
paying
you've
Dave
got
Davis still, but
you've got. I would think that what they're trying to do is trying to see if they can. They don't really have a true slot though.
That is true. I wonder if they play Thomas out of the slot.
That's what I was just going to say. I wonder if they're trying to look at getting him out of the slot more because vertically, that's probably where they could have a lot of success with him in the vertical game is in the slot.
Right. Almost in the way that Dallas uses CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
Because if you think about the two guys they have next to him, Diami Brown, outside
speed
guy.
He's better than CeeDee Lamb, right?
And then Gabe Davis is only playing on the outside.
He's better than CeeDee Lamb, right?
Who?
Brian Thomas.
No, he's not.
No?
No, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Contracts aside.
that's a crazy question.
Don't allow contracts.
No, I don't care about contracts.
Okay. If you had both of them on the board today, not fantasy in real life to start your team, who would you rather have? Brian Thomas Jr. or CeeDee Lamb?
How old is CeeDee Lamb? To start my team?
If you're
25. I'm taking CeeDee Lamb. Yeah.
I'm not taking CeeDee Lamb.
He had 1,700 yards 2 years ago.
Yep.
Four straight 1,000-yard seasons. No, I want CeeDee Lamb.
I like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot.
I mean, I love Brian Thomas Jr., but Lamb is already a tier one receiver in the league.
Totally.
I think
by the end of this year,
could be.
He might be a consensus top four, top five. That's how high I think of Brian Thomas
Jr. As I do say, 1,700 yards for Lamb. I mean, it was 1,282 was the yardage for Thomas. Thomas had an amazing year.
And how many games did Lawrence end up missing? Five?
Upset of the segment is that the team we've spent the most time on happened to be the Jacksonville Jaguars in this exercise. Do you think the Bills wanted Thomas looking back?
Yes.
That's the guy they would have wanted to trade up for?
I think so, yeah.
Man, imagine him with Josh Allen. Could have been awesome. All right, Jaguars at 6.5. I'm going over. Colts at 6.5. Who's their week one starter? Does it have to be Richardson? They're talking like Daniel Jones is going to compete for the job. I can't believe that. Jones has played forever in the league. 6 years? How much more does a guy need to prove to you that he's not it? But quarterback competition. Does he win it? Richardson is, I don't know what to do with Richardson. I love the athlete, but the guy took himself out of a game. And I don't know if you ever recover from that in that building. He's going to have to work to do it. This offseason, training camp, he's got to show a maturity level. Because that, it might sound like a little thing, but I feel like that could stick to him. It'll be remembered. It's the first thing I thought of when I thought of Richardson. He's a crazy athlete, big arm. I mean, I like the player. I thought he shouldn't have been benched in the first place for play. Richardson, one thing that I think, this is going back to the early Josh Allen debates, the great debates of like 2018 and 19, where we argued about how important is completion percentage, right? And that's happening a little bit with Richardson right now. Anthony Richardson, worst completion percentage of any starting quarterback in the league last year, 47.7%. He also had a higher yards per attempt than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Which should I care more about? I'm not saying he doesn't have to get more consistent, but you benched a guy who had a higher yards per attempt than Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes had a little bit of a down year, but it was middle of the road of starters. It was fine. Because you know why? He connects on bombs
all the
time.
He's actually... He's an impressive vertical thrower.
14.4 yards per completion last year was the highest in the NFL.
It's just as crazy he can't complete an outpass. But man, can that guy throw a beautiful deep ball. He's got J.P. Lossman vibes with his arm talent.
Honestly, with his injury history too a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to go over or under on 6.5 for the Colts?
I'm going to go under.
Okay. Titans at 5.5?
Under.
There's a lot of teams at the bottom here that just... Under on the Titans.
Yeah.
Jets at 5.5?
Over.
Really?
Yeah.
I would be under on that. I think they're going to be bad.
I think they'll be better than they were last year. They'll be less of a bleep show. I think they'll be less of a bleep show. I think they're going to play a ton of one-score games. And I suspect their defense
bounces back a little bit. All right. Raiders at 5.5?
Over.
It's interesting that's an interesting number that it is that low. Because
I think Pete Carroll accounts for six. I think he accounts for six. He's the best coach that franchise has had.
Okay. See, Geno.
Since
Geno would be the bigger reason that I would do it.
Pete Carroll is such a solidifying. Talk about raising floors. He raises their floor immensely. From being maybe the worst team in the league from a floor-wise,
yeah.
I think to at minimum third in their division.
I'm definitely rooting for it to crash and burn.
Really? I don't. Was it because of Brady?
Brady.
All right, that's fair.
Because if they win this year, like if they're a playoff team, they win 10 games.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll, you might be right that Carroll will be a huge reason, like the biggest reason why that happens. He ain't getting the credit for it.
I disagree.
Tom Brady is going to get the credit for it because he's going to make it that way.
He'll make.
Brady gets credit for everything, things that aren't he has nothing to do with.
Yeah.
He is absolutely going to get all the credit if they make the playoffs and win 10 games.
That's probably right.
So I want them to win 3. The Raiders. Final one, Cleveland 4.5.
Under. They might win 0 games. If they go into the season as is right now with Kenny Pickett at quarterback, they might win 0 games.
Yeah. I mean, I still like the defense, but
yeah,
I wouldn't go over. I'd go under too. Yeah. All right. That's the AFC picture right now when it comes to the over-under win totals. Again, the Bills are the number one team. They're tied with Baltimore and Kansas City at 11.5, but like, if you were going to bet it, you have to spend more to get the over on the Bills than you would on Baltimore or Kansas City right now. 803-0550 is the phone number. We're going to talk some draft coming up next. We'll check in with Sal also in the 9 o'clock hour. He's going to be on tomorrow, but get in on the league owners meetings and you know all the rule changes. We touched on those a little bit earlier, but we'll definitely get more in depth with it with Sal in the 9 o'clock hour. So still got room for your phone calls at 803-0550. Sabres play tonight. Baseball starts today. It's a busy day in the world of sports. The NCAA tournament gets back into it today, so you got everything. Almost a sports equinox.
Sports equinox.
Hockey, basketball, baseball. And we're missing one more. There's no golf. We got golf today.
Yes.
The Texas Open.
Houston Open, yeah. Houston Open. Yep.
So Rory's the favorite for today. 803-0550 is the phone number here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
On the end around, Isaiah Bond finds the edge, finds the end zone. Touchdown, Isaiah Bond on a 26-yard run.
All aboard the wide receiver train. This year, though, might be okay with round two.
Yes.
Just saying. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off this week. Nate Geary hanging out here on WGR. We are under a month away from the NFL draft. That clip of Isaiah Bond, we'll get more on him and some of the other Texas prospects. I feel like looking at this, that there's a really good chance the Bills draft a Longhorn in the first two rounds. Bond, by the way, might be here right now. We don't know like exactly when, but we did have Ryan Talbot report yesterday early in the morning that Bond was coming to Buffalo as one of the top 30, you know, pre-draft visits. So we'll see what they end up doing in the draft. CJ Vogel from On Texas Football, College Football Insider, joins us now on the Wester Hotline. CJ, it's Joe and Nate. Thanks for taking some time out this morning for us.
Good morning, fellas. Thank you very much for having me on.
So I feel like Texas is kind of perfect to talk about here. The Bills' needs in the draft, I mean, it's defensive tackle, it's corner, wide receiver is on that list. And when you look through the rankings, I mean, there are Texas guys at all three positions. So let's start with the receivers. Both guys, speed players, Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond. What do you think, start here, CJ, what the biggest reason you think that Bond is more viewed as a second-round prospect and Golden is more viewed as a first-round prospect?
Yeah, it's a good question because coming in, it was pretty flipped, right? Bond was a first-round, you know, projected guy, and Golden was more an unknown. You know, he had more yards this past year at Texas than he did previously his 2 years at Houston, and it really took a while for him to take that leap into that wide receiver one role, which really started because of an injury, an ankle injury to Isaiah Bond, which really hampered his ability to get loose, create separation, and show off his speed. Now, what's interesting is you saw the 4.29 for Matthew Golden, and you saw at the time the 4.38 for Isaiah Bond. I would have expected those numbers to have been flipped based off of tape and based off of what we knew about both guys coming in and out of the season. So it's nothing to scoff at from a speed perspective, but really, I thought Isaiah Bond played a little bit faster on tape than Matthew Golden did this year. But overall, the ability to create separation and the hands to go up and catch just about anything in his vicinity, that all goes to Matthew Golden there.
Bond, part of that too maybe is him, I think we all remember him saying he was going to break the record or projecting he was going to break the record at the combine and then ran at the combine in the 4.4s. So to you, the play speed looks higher for Bond. What about like the overall skill set, the route running, where they line up, outside versus slot? That's one thing for us in particular, like guys that play primarily in the slot, maybe a little bit less useful. The Bills have Khalil Shakir. They're pretty much set with that. So it's more who can play on the perimeter, run all the routes, and also give you that speed at the same time.
Yeah, if you're looking for a guy that just plays on the outside, I do think Isaiah Bond fits that a little bit better. His route tree that was used at Texas more so was for that, right? You had your 15-yard stops, your verts, you know, some of those screens that Texas relied on pretty heavily. All of those fit exactly what Isaiah Bond was really good at. Now, I think Matthew Golden, comparatively, has a broader route tree. I think that, again, his ability to create separation on digs and outs is just a little bit quicker, right? He's more quick than fast, which, again, was so surprising why he ran that 4.29 at the combine, because the quickness is what I think separated him more than anything beyond just that straight line speed. So I do think Bond fits that outside, quote-unquote, wide receiver just a little bit better than a Golden, who I think Texas deployed all over the field very well in 2024.
So to wrap on those two, do you feel like then like as we kind of go through from the Bills' perspective and what they need, might be a better idea for them to wait until round two if Bond is there rather than go for Golden in round one. They might even, CJ, have to trade up. I've been seeing, you know, their mock drafts, but some of these things have Golden now going like 15th or middle of the first round.
Yeah, I think Golden, you know, you talked about buy low, sell high. You know, this is probably the highest that Matthew Golden's stock has ever been, you know, when it comes to coming into the draft. And, you know, there are certainly some conversations about, you know, if either Texas team will end up with a Matthew Golden. And trust me, I hear that all the time being down here in Austin. You know, fans of both teams are saying, you know, this is a guy that they would love to have to their franchise. But I see it as this. Isaiah Bond coming into this 2024 season, again, was a number one first-round projected guy up there with Luther Burden, with Tet McMillan. Injury really derailed his season. That Oklahoma game was game six for the Longhorns. And when you look back at the final eight weeks of the season, those final eight games for Texas, his production dropped significantly. But, I mean, what can you do as a speed guy when you got a bum wheel, right? So for Isaiah Bond, again, to go out in Indianapolis and post the top or the fastest mile per hour rate of any wide receiver in the NFL combine, I think that alone speaks more to his top end speed than what that 40 indicated.
Yeah, like the functional speed. It's something we talked a lot about last year when the Bills drafted Keon Coleman, right? Like he runs one of the fastest,
the gauntlet
drill. Because it's more functional speed than it is, you know, stopwatch speed. But, you know, in comparing, listen, I mean, the Texas the last two seasons with Quinn Ewers at quarterback, basically going to end up having, presumably, four top 60 picks, two in each of the last 2 years. And when you look at someone like Xavier Worthy, who, you know, obviously there'll be connections between him and the Bills forever because they end up trading back and Kansas City moves up and takes Worthy, you know, sort of how he ended his season on a high in the NFL. I think there will be a desire to compare A.D. Mitchell and Golden and Bond and Worthy. And do you find those to be worthwhile comparisons as a prospect worthy, specifically with Isaiah Bond? How similar are their game styles? Obviously, I think Bond is a little bit bigger, not by much, but a little bit bigger. Like, how comparative are those, you know, kind of players in back-to-back drafts for Texas?
Yeah, I think that's actually a really good question, of course, because you see the 4.2s for Golden and Worthy. Worthy, for me, was a little bit more of a straight-line guy at Texas. You know, his ability to just, you know, start, stop, and go. Texas used him pretty well on end-arounds and stuff in the backfield as well. For Golden, again, it's that quickness in his routes. You know, his cutting ability that I think separated him from the rest of this group. Now, I think actually Adonai Mitchell was probably the better route runner between he and Xavier Worthy last year. You can talk separation numbers, et cetera. I actually think A.D. Mitchell was that guy that is in that conversation at the, you know, the peak of his routes when it comes to cutting, when it comes to breaking, when it comes to just finding ways to separate from man-to-man coverage. Adonai Mitchell and Matthew Golden might be a little bit more similar. And then I see Isaiah Bond and Xavier Worthy a little closely as well, in the sense that the way that they were used, a lot of that was straight line, a lot of that was, you know, cross or something that you didn't necessarily need that immediate cutting ability for. And I think that's something that resonates in their game a little bit closer than the conversation about Adonai Mitchell and Matthew Golden.
And the funny thing about Mitchell, too, is if you look even in his rookie season, he has top 10 separation numbers and limited playing time and a quarterback that
the ball was just well 5 yards over his head.
Yeah, could not find him.
Yeah.
To get to corner, CJ Vogel with us covering the Texas Longhorns. The Bills, another need, probably their biggest need, is corner. Jahdae Barron expected to go in the first round, one of the first few corners. How high a level of corner prospect are we talking with Barron?
Texas for years has kind of toted that BBU claim, and it's been a while since they've had a guy like Jahdae that's gone out there and won the Thorpe and been an All-American. I've said this since maybe middle of season, and just having listened to Jahdae and post-game pressers and, you know, those Monday press conferences as well, wherever he ends up, he's going to be given a key to the city within 3 years. And I don't mean that just off the sense of his gameplay or what he does on the field, but the way that he conducts himself off the field, his charisma in the locker room, he's going to become a fan favorite. And I think that that's something that will help his draft stock. And obviously you'd like to see the play on the field be the reason why he goes where he goes, but he does everything else so well, right? You know, he's a guy that you want to represent your franchise or your university. And of course he's a darn good quarterback, right? He had 5 interceptions this year. He only allowed 8 yards the entire season in man-on-man coverage per PFF. So take that for what you want, but that's a pretty darn good mark in my eyes. And of course, to win the Thorpe Award over some really talented cornerbacks and safeties in this class, it really speaks to who he is and how he goes about his work ethic. And again, this was the guy last year that was getting 4th-round grades, right? His decision to come back to Texas, to work a little bit more on his craft, to put in that extra work to, look, he's really good friends with Xavier Worthy. And to see him go in the first round to have the success that he had this past year in Kansas City, I think that was a big driving factor for why he was able to come in, put so much work into his game, and take it to a level that I don't think really anybody was expecting when it comes to a first-round lock and the Thorpe Award in his closet. That's a heck of an achievement. And again, I think he's going to be a great fit for wherever he ends up.
Last one for the Bills' perspective here. One other need, of course, is defensive tackle. They have 2 picks at the end of the 2nd round, and you see Alfred Collins mocked there a lot, defensive tackle from Texas. What's the story on Collins?
Yeah, big AC is a fun one. You know, he's 6'5 and some change, 330 pounds. Look, he moves very well. And I know that some of those explosive numbers from the combine might not indicate a great athlete, but I mean, this was a 5-star athlete coming out of high school at Bastrop. He's got a tremendous first step, and I think that's shown on tape. You know, one thing with Alfred is he's also super strong. The question is, how much more does he have to his bag other than using that strength and speed to his repertoire? Of course, I actually had this conversation with Alfred a few years ago. You know, how can you improve? And he said, look, I've got to get my hands right. You know, I got to be able to shed blocks. I got to be able to win off of pass moves alone. I can't just use my size as something that gets me past some of these college offensive linemen. And obviously at the NFL, that's going to be something that is even tougher, right? You know, when it comes to the best interior offensive linemen in the country. So I view Alfred as a super athletic guy that is very disruptive when it comes to getting towards the backfield. My big question is, how much can you rely on him on a down after down after down approach? Of course, 3 downs is kind of the conversation when it comes to interior guys. But Alfred, again, great run stopper, and then, of course, can get hands up and get that big paw up there to stop passes whenever he's not after the quarterback. But I think he's going to be an end of round 2 guy. Maybe early round 3.
Yeah, maybe sounds like someone that 1st and 2nd downs, and if you got like a 3rd and long, he's coming off the field for something like more of a penetrator, more maybe even defense. Like the Bills used Rousseau inside sometimes, so a defensive end of sorts. Finally, we'll let you go on this, CJ. How high are the expectations for Arch Manning this year at Texas? I've got a friend who's a Giants fan who just wants them to tank until he comes to the NFL. We're finally going to get to see him this year, right?
You sure will get to see him this year, and you might have to tell your Giants buddy that it might be a couple years before you get to see his name in the NFL draft. The expectation is two years at Texas on the field, despite what might happen in 2025, regardless of where what he does or where this team goes. I think 2 seasons is going to be the minimum for here in Austin.
All right, it'll be fun to watch. CJ Vogel from On Texas Football. Thanks for the insight, CJ. Great stuff, and enjoy the spring game. College football season coming up.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you very much. Enjoy draft season.
Thank you. The CJ Vogel, by the way, if you do want to follow his stuff on Twitter, at CJ_OTF on a couple of Texas receivers. Following that conversation, I'm team Isaiah Bond in round 2 over Matthew Golden in round 1.
I am right there with you. I'm starting to get on the train. There's a couple of names that I'm starting to like more and more for this, specifically like 2nd, 3rd, maybe even 4th round. But like, to me, I feel like the speed guy is needed. So like Bond makes a ton of sense in the 2nd round. Kyle Williams is a name that I keep sort of going back to. I mean, what he did at the Senior Bowl, you know, a lot of guys that were at the Senior Bowl raved about him in the era of, you know, quote unquote, like TikTok route running. He was the one out there doing
TikTok route running.
Yeah, like, you know, the nonsense you see in like 7-on-7 and 1-on-1 where these guys like, you know, doing like nine moves. Okay. Like, that's ever going to happen in an actual game. TikTok, he has like real legit. Yeah. He dominated the Senior Bowl. Like, that's, and that's not a play. That might be a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Washington State, Kyle Williams, Isaiah Bond. Give me a fast guy.
We'll hit a break here. But as he was describing Jahdae Barron, by the way, do you know who I was thinking of the whole time? Tre'Davious White.
Mm.
Sounded like he was describing Tre'Davious White.
So a lot of people talking about him playing slot in the NFL, though.
Don't love that.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the phone number. It is Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off. Nate is in. When we come back, building a better strategy for the Sabres. They play the Penguins tonight. And we'll come up with something. There's a lot of good ideas you could toss around. New embedded, by the way, for the Sabres to get into, too. Stay tuned. Tomorrow is opening day for the Buffalo Bisons. Callers 5 and 6 right now win a pair of tickets, 4-pack of tickets, to the Bisons opening day game against the Rochester Red Wings. That's a 2:05 first pitch tomorrow. Visit Bisons.com for tickets. Sabres and Penguins tonight. It's time for Building a Better Strategy, brought to you by SalesRebel.ai. Build better strategies. Visit SalesRebel.ai today to learn more. My Building a Better Strategy for the Sabres is I'd like to see Isaac Rosanne play in the top six for the rest of the season.
Hmm.
The games don't matter.
They do not.
He is 22.
It's time to see him more than like 6-7 minutes a night on a checking line.
Yeah, he was drafted...
It is weird.
4 years ago now.
He hasn't even really gotten a legitimate look.
He is leading the AHL in like multiple categories. Like he's in their MVP race.
Yep.
Leading the Amerks. He's 22, and he never plays more than 10 minutes when he comes up here because he's always just on the fourth line.
Yep.
But he's a scorer, so like, why not just get a look at it? That would be my better strategy. Like, just find out if there's anything there. That's it. Because I don't want to be hearing about him at 23 going into next year. Like, oh, maybe they have something here. Like, those guys at 23 first-round picks.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen by now, it's probably not happening.
Right. So, get a look at it. See if there's anything there. He played 8 minutes the other night against Ottawa.
Yeah. I mean, what's the point?
I don't know.
Just run 7 defensemen if that's the case.
Right. You can't even get a tell on him. He's played like 12 NHL games, and there's no way of knowing what he's done in those games.
What are you getting with him and Krebs and Malenstein? I mean, what do you get?
Right.
By the way, quickly, 6 years ago today is when Alabama hired Nate Oates from University of Buffalo.
It's been 6 years?
6 years. Since that beautiful NCAA tournament run.
How long have I been doing this? I remember hosting the nightcap, talking about Nate Oates making UB into like...
The
Eastern version of Gonzaga.
Yeah.
That did not happen.
It did not happen.
I think everyone does that, don't they?
Yep.
Doesn't every mid-major go, we could be the next Gonzaga?
Because our coach is good. And then coach leaves immediately.
Yeah, there's no next Gonzaga.
Nah. Nah, Gonzaga's a...
Gonzaga. I always do that.
Pie in the sky.
Tournament starts back up tonight. All power conferences.
Yeah.
That's it. No mid-majors. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll talk with Sal coming up next. Get into some of the league owner stuff, the rule changes, the touchback, and the tush push, and no nose wiping on celebrations. A lot to get to with Sal when we come back here on WGR.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple. but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.